Transform your life today. Welcome to Super Coach with Michael Neal.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Our topic today is the joy of being out of control and the numbers to call to get coaching on having what you want and thriving in every area of your life. 866-254-1579. It's toll free in the United States and Canada. 866-254-1579. And from outside the United States, you can reach the show by dialing your country code, followed by 760-918-4300. And I know they're having, some trouble with the lines, but maybe we're going to get you on. In the meantime, let me set the table, as I always do, by talking a little bit about what I mean by the joy of being out of control. So I first had this pointed out to me by a coach that I work with named Sandy Crott. Lives up in Washington State, and she pointed out that people tend to start out in life feeling out of control, and a natural response to feeling out of control is to try and get control, to try and find some way of getting into control of their lives. So they, you know, will do personal development work. They'll try to take control of their finances. They'll try and take control of their thoughts. They'll try and take control of their relationships. They'll try and take control of their finances. And one of two things happens. Either they fail and it doesn't work and they get more and more stressed because they're now not just feeling out of control, but they're feeling helpless about it. Or they start to get some degree of control over their lives and they start to go, hey, this is better. This is better than the absolute chaos that was my life. But the problem is, once you start feeling like you've got some control in your life, you realize that it's very tenuous and things happen and suddenly that control is taken away from you. Now, it's not really taken away from you. We'll talk about that. But it feels like suddenly something in life unexpected happens. You lose your job. Your partner leaves you. You find out about a health issue that you didn't know you had. And suddenly you feel out of control again. And so you try even harder to get back into control. And for a lot of people, that's what life is. It's a constant game of going between out of control and in control. And it's tiring. And sometimes you feel like you're winning and sometimes you feel like you're losing. Now, there is another game in town. There's a better game in town. And it's the game called freedom. And in the freedom game, it's not that things have to be a certain way anymore. Because in the freedom game, really your goal is just to be able to navigate the world, navigate your life effectively as best you can, and with a general sense of ease and grace. So if things are going well, you're able to handle that with some gratitude and ease and grace. And if they're not going well, you're able to handle that with a relative sense of ease and grace. And if your relationships are thriving and you're really enjoying them, you're able to just really enjoy them. And when they're not, you're able to handle that with a relative sense of ease and grace. And the reason that more people don't play the freedom game is because from inside the control game, from inside a world where you're trying to control or not lose control or get more control, freedom looks a lot like being out of control. Now, here's the trick. We actually control almost nothing in this world. Now, people don't like to admit it, and they like to go, yes, I do. I control the whole thing with my mind. With the greatest respect, most people can't even manifest a pizza, let alone the life of their dreams. And it's not because they're not doing it right. It's not because they're not sincere. It's because the nature of the universe is not one where we're in control. Now, when you begin to see that, you begin to actually recognize how little control we have, but also how little control we need to navigate life effectively and to really just enjoy life as we go, that stops being a scary thing, and that begins to feel an awful lot like freedom. So we're going to talk more about that throughout the show, but I wanted to lay that out. We're going to go to the phones in just a minute. If you want to get in, the numbers to call, 866-254-1579, toll free in the United States and Canada, 866-254-1579. And from outside the United States, dial 001-760-918-4300. And let's begin in Helena, Montana with Ann. Ann, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today? Hello, Anne. Oh, no, we've lost Anne. Okay, well, we're just going to move straight on to Bellingham, Washington, to Ellen. Ellen, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi, I'm working on launching a new project, and I just feel like I take one step forward and three steps back. And so I think I'm trying to hold on and control it too much.
That would make you human.
Yeah. So, and a little crazy at times.
Yeah, well, there you go. So tell me a little bit about the project.
Well, I asked my guides one day to be guided to a message I could bring to the world. And the message that I came is I'm to bring the message, just be love, start to ripple. And I've designed products and images around that and some press releases and blogs. But I just, there's something that's holding me back from taking that step and actually putting out there what I've got completed.
Okay, so let's take a little look at what is within your control and what's not. So when you put that out to your guides, was putting it out to your guides within your control?
I think so.
Yeah, seems like it. Okay. Now, was what your guide said back to you within your control?
Probably not.
No, I would say if it was, they weren't really your guides.
Right.
So in a way, right from the very start, you could initiate a communication, but that's different from having any control. So this project's never been yours.
Right.
I don't mean it's not yours to do. I just mean it's not within your control what happens with it or how it goes. But there probably are some things you could control. So what's something that you're aware that if you did it, it would probably help move the project forward, but you're not doing it?
I'll actually do something with what I'm creating instead of just creating it and showing it to a few close friends.
Okay, so do something. That's tricky. I don't know how to do that. What's something specific that you could do that if you did it, it would be likely to make a difference, and but for whatever reason, which we may or may not figure out, you're not doing?
Send out some press releases. Actually put it out there to the world.
Okay, so forget about putting it out there to the world, because that's like, I don't know. I don't know how to do that. But I know how to send out a press release. So if you were going to send out a press release, do you have a list of people that you could send it to?
Yes, I do.
Okay, great. And so what would actually be involved? Like if you were going to hire somebody to do it and they weren't very bright, but they followed orders well? You know, so, you know, you have to keep it simple. What, basically, I'm talking about me. What would you tell me to do? Like, if my job, you hired me to send out a press release on your behalf to the people you've got, what would, tell me what actions I need to take?
Oh, well, first I have to write the press release.
Okay, so one, write press release. Okay, and how long does it need to be? A page, 2 pages, 17 pages, half a page?
One page.
Okay, so write a one-page press release. Got it?
Yeah. Well, I feel like I need some sort of hook or something to attract their attention, to get people's attention.
Okay. So, but that's kind of part of writing the press release is looking to find that.
Correct.
So I'm still what I need to do is I need to write the one-page press release, ideally not a crap one.
Right.
Okay. Got that.
And then send it out.
Okay. Now, do I do that by putting in envelopes? Do I do that online? How do I do that?
Probably online nowadays.
Okay, so send online. And it sounds like you're not sure.
I'm not real sure.
Okay, so how would I find that out? Like if I'm going to actually work for you and do it, where do I go to find out whether I send it online or in person?
I guess contact the places sending the press release to and ask them the best way.
Okay, and I have their phone numbers in the paper, the piece of paper that you're going to give me?
For local ones, I do.
Okay, so local ones. Okay, so basically it's a three-step job. Step one, write a one-page press release. Step two, contact the local places that I've got contact information for to find out how best to send it to them. And step three, send it to them.
Yes.
Okay. Do you get that each one of those three things is actually entirely within your control?
Yes.
Okay. So then the question is, do you want to do it? Okay, then the next question is, will you?
Yes.
Okay, and then the last question is, when?
This afternoon.
Fantastic. So here's what I want you to do, Ellen. I want you to send an email, when you've done it, to radio@supercoach.com, and let me know that you've done it. Will you do that?
Okay, I can.
Congratulations.
So radio@supercoach.com.
That's it.
Okay.
You're on your way.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ellen.
Bye.
Bye. You know, when we let go of all the things that we think we should be in control of, like, you know, writing a great press release and having people pick it up and getting things out into the world, we find that actually the things that are within our control aren't even that hard. And that wasn't an unusual exception. That was actually typical, that when you clear away all the stuff that's not under your control, what you're left with is something that it really just comes down to, do you want to? And if you do, and you can, and you want to, you probably will. Let's go back to Helena, Montana, and let's try Anne again. Anne, you with us this time?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can. Welcome back. What can I do for you today?
Thanks. Well, I actually had two questions. One question came from looking at your blurb where it talked about, if we'd settle for having more control over our thoughts and emotions. And I have a 16-year-old daughter that I am trying to support her in learning how to do that. She feels very, very deeply. And then her feelings, I call it take her out of the game, where then she can't get back on board and go ahead and do homework and things like that. And so there was that question of being a mother and supporting, you know, your child. That's question one. Question two, when you first started talking at the beginning of the your talk show here, what came to mind was, you know, I get it that about not being in control. I had two large animals run out in front of my car and turn life upside down.
Yeah.
Now, what the question is there's another thought philosophy that we create or manifest everything. And so in that thinking that I created those bulls running out in front of me. Does that make sense? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do know what you're talking about, sure.
And so I just wanted to, I was curious what your, for you to speak to that just for a minute.
Yeah. I find it, now look, this isn't correct, but this is accurate. Okay, what I'm about to say. I find it very difficult to conceive that at any age, in any incarnation, that your essence had the thought, I know, let's run some bulls in front of her car and see how she deals with that one, because it will give her strength and fortitude and resilience. I'm not saying it couldn't be that way. I don't get it. That's not my experience at all. My experience of how the law of attraction and things like that really work is that the energy and feeling and vibration that we put out into the world does seem to draw back to us things of a similar energy. That doesn't mean that our path in life is under our control and that if we just thought different, we would do different, because we didn't choose our thoughts. I'm not aware of anyone who can actually consciously or does actually consciously choose their thoughts on an ongoing basis. Now, if we play if we believe that we somehow control the universe, we control our reality, and if we only think the right things, then we'll have everything that we want, well, then it would make sense to try to control our thoughts. There are two problems with it. The first is, as I say, I don't know anyone who can control their thoughts. I know people who are a little bit better than others at dropping thoughts when a thought comes into their head that they don't want. But that's usually because they actually can recognize it as a thought. The reason we have trouble dropping our thoughts is because they don't seem like thoughts to us. And that's not to do with a weakness in us. That's just the nature of thought. The nature of thought is that it appears real until it doesn't. We have a thought that somebody is mean, or the world is out to get us, or that we're supposed to be able to control our destiny, and that seems really real to us, and we don't see it as just a thought. And if we had a different thought, we'd have a different experience. So my experience is that we do create our experience of reality 100% through our thinking. But that's different from controlling the bulls in front of your car, or the success of your next business venture, or your daughter's ability to concentrate. Does that make sense as a distinction?
Yes, I understand that as well, the distinction. There's an event that happens, and how we react to it depends on our, on how we are, isn't it? And then on how we react to that event depends on our thoughts and feelings.
Well, how we experience that event will be 100% down to our thoughts and feelings, because we actually, that's what we experience. We experience our thinking.
Right.
So we don't experience the world directly. We experience our thinking, and then it looks like the world. It's like, do you know the analogy of Plato's cave?
I don't remember that.
Okay, so Plato, come on, every child reads about Plato's cave. So Plato, the Greek philosopher, and he wrote about the notion of these, that this group of people that lived in a cave, and they looked at the shadows on the wall. So there was that, and they thought that was life. And then somebody turns away from the fire and goes towards the mouth of the cave and is actually blinded by the sun, by the real world. Because for the first time, they're not just looking at the reflection, they're looking at the source. And we live in Plato's cave. We look out into the world and we see our own thinking projected.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happens is, as we begin to understand something more about how that works, how the nature of thought is creative, about how depending on our level of consciousness in any given moment, our thoughts seem more or less real and our experience of life seems more or less real, more like a dream or more like, no, 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 this is real. The whole thing just gets gentler. It doesn't hurt so much because we can see it's just our own thinking. And that the worst thing that can happen to us is a thought. And generally speaking, it's a thought about whatever we think is the worst thing that could happen to us.
Mm-hmm.
So let me go back to your first question, okay, about your daughter. In my experience, and I actually have a lot of experience here, trying to control your thinking, control your moods, it's what's the old expression? It's like trying to teach a pig to sing. It doesn't work, and it annoys the pig.
Right.
Now, what you can do is learn to let the thoughts go through, to let them flow through without grabbing onto them or thinking that they're important. In other words, without thinking about your thinking. And that's what I mean when I talk about freedom as opposed to control. I'm not aware that we can control our thoughts, not effectively over time. But I'm very aware that we can allow our thoughts to flow past a lot of the time. And then it becomes like a TV on in the corner. It might distract us from time to time, but we don't have to worry about what channel it's on. Does that make sense?
Yes, I hear what you're saying.
Okay, so what's the question that gives that lovely upward inflection to yes?
Okay, so thoughts come into your mind and then you just let it go. So I get that part, right?
Mm-hmm.
Go through. All right, and so as far as the pig...
Right. You know, there isn't a real pig, Anne. It was just a metaphor.
Right.
Okay, but yeah, go ahead.
I guess I thought what you were saying was irritating my daughter. Like, I'm trying to figure out.
I know nothing of your relationship with your daughter. Probably at some level she is annoyed because all daughters are annoyed with parents, and at another level she really appreciates that you care. So I don't mean it in terms of that. I just mean that the more you try to get somebody to control something that isn't ultimately within their control, the more frustrated they're liable to get over time. Because if they love and respect you, then they're going to assume that the reason they can't do it is because they're doing something wrong or there's something wrong with them. When in fact, the reason they can't do it is it's not how it works. And the more you see it, and I'm going to actually do something I rarely do. I'm just going to actually give you a piece of advice.
Okay.
And the piece of advice is look for yourself how you handle difficult thoughts and feelings. And share the best of what you do with your daughter as just that. This is the best I've figured out so far. And trust her wisdom to take it from there.
Okay, well, that is what I'm doing so far. So,
And as far as I know, that's the only thing that's within your control.
Okay.
All right, Anne. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Bye. And you know, it's frustrating sometimes because we want to be able to control it. We want to know. We think there must be something I can do. There must be a thing that if I just do this thing, then I will get the result that I want every time. I'm simply not aware that it works that way. Let's go back on the phones to Michelle in Orlando, Florida. Michelle, welcome. What can I do for you today?
Hi. You're great. I talked to you once before, and I talked about my graphic design business and about my logos, and you told me, just don't worry about doing it the same way every time. And that really struck with me because I tried to hone myself in. But still, I have a problem maintaining discipline and order and a schedule. And I'm actually manifested. I am working from home completely now, which is awesome. So my situation has improved because when I talked to you last, I had the worst job on the planet. So I know that I'm improving, but I still don't feel like I'm in the right rhythm that I could be. Could you give me some advice on that?
Well, I can talk to you a little bit more about it. So why do you think you need better discipline and order? I'm not saying you do or you don't, but what is it that makes you think, that would be the solution to my problems?
My website itself, my portfolio site, like, it's been incapable, and I think I inherited this from my father, who's a chaotic creative. I haven't been able to put my portfolio together. It's like I have a couple things up on my site, but it's not complete. There's not, and I'm missing out opportunities to like send my stuff places to get more work at home. And I don't know why I'm not taking these opportunities. I also do acting, and like I got signed on by an agency, and then I haven't gone in because my monologue is like not perfect. So I haven't gone in to go meet them and shake hands, and I want to get my headshots done. So that's kind of my bag. You know what I'm saying?
So Michelle, if you have the awareness that that's what you do.
Yeah.
Why do you think you keep doing it?
I can't grok that. I don't understand, but I realize that and then I get depressed because I procrastinate, but I'm not where I want to be, you know?
Okay. So I get that what you're doing, not creating the results that you want.
Right.
So forget about discipline and order for a little while.
Okay.
Because I don't, that sounds like a lot of work.
Right.
It's like, yeah, you're suddenly going to go from being a hippie to being disciplined and ordered, and you're still going to enjoy your life. That just sounds nuts to me.
But
I don't hear anything in either of the two examples you gave that's that difficult. So,
okay.
For example, the agent. Okay. Is there a reason not to go down there tomorrow morning?
Not really, but okay.
So no. So do you have your diary with you?
I do, my little notebook, yeah.
Okay, great. Can you check tomorrow morning, see how it's looking?
Yeah, I can go.
Okay, I want you to write it in.
Okay.
Or type it, whichever way it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so is it in there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the discipline and order that you are exhibiting right here on my radio show, Michelle.
Okay.
In other words, you only need enough. You don't need to become a disciplined and orderly person. You need just enough to write it down and show up. Okay, now the other one, the portfolio on the website. So
yeah.
It sounds like there's some information for you to upload to your website. Is that correct?
Yeah, my files are a mess, and I have to pick my best pieces and write something about them and put them on my website.
Okay, do you have $50?
Yeah.
Okay, so I want you to go to Google when we're done and type VA, which is for virtual assistant, into Google.
Okay.
And find a VA that sounds sane to you. And it's pretty easy to delineate. And for about $50, you can get a couple hours of their time, and they can do it for you.
I didn't know that.
How about
awesome.
That?
Is that, no
is that disciplined and ordered enough for you?
That's beautiful. Okay. Tomorrow morning, go to agent.
Exactly.
Find a virtual assistant.
And do you know what? That's pretty much how my life looks. I look at my diary and it tells me what to do, and I couldn't be happier.
Okay. I'll try that.
All right,
happy.
Michelle. Let us know how you get on.
I will. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. We are going to take a quick break. Agnes in Bristol and Blair in Scotland, you are next in the queue. If you want to get in for some coaching on how to thrive in any area of your life, numbers to call 866-254-1579 outside the U.S. and Canada. You can reach us on 001-760-918-4300. You like the kind of things we talk about on the show? Visit us online at supercoach.com or find me on Twitter at Michael_Neil. We will be right back after this.
Hit it!
strategies for real change. This is Supercoach with Michael Neal.
We are back. We're talking about the joy of being out of control. If you want to get in, numbers to call 866-254-1579 from outside the U.S., 001-760-918-4300. If you happen to be listening live in the U.K. right after the show, I'm going to be on air for the BBC in Nottingham, Derby, Leicester, Coventry, and Warwickshire. But in the meantime, let's carry on with this show. So let's go to Agnes in Bristol in the United Kingdom. Agnes, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hello, Michael. Thank you very much for your show. I really enjoy it.
Oh, you're very welcome.
I wanted to ask you a question. It's a little bit different than the previous question. I have finished recently a very long period of study. I have just finished a PhD.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Thank you. And that has been really long and has been really difficult, and that required a lot of order and discipline. So now I'm sort of experiencing a bit how to feel a bit out of control and, you know, doing things a bit differently and relaxing in general. And that has been very, very nice.
Yeah.
The problem I have is that my husband, he feels very, very nervous about it, and he is very anxious. And he feels very unhappy. And that's causing some problems for us.
Okay. So now do you did you lose the remote control for your husband?
No.
Oh, is that because you didn't have one?
No, he just gets upset about the small things. He gets really anxious. I think anxiety is at the
sure.
Worst.
Sure, and the thing is, Agnes, people do, right? People, to the extent that we don't understand that our experience of life is our thinking about life, we're going to get anxious and we're going to think that something in the world needs to change for us to calm down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when it's somebody close to us, it's tricky because it's easy for us to not notice that the reason that we're having trouble with our partner isn't because our partner is insecure and not recognizing that their insecurity is just thought. It's because we're insecure and we're not noticing that our discomfort with our partner's behavior is just thought.
Mm.
So that's the funny thing, is it looks like it's your husband, but actually it wouldn't really matter what he was doing. If you are caught up in sort of worry thoughts, you're going to feel worried. So it's the same thing for him. He thinks it's to do with what you're doing or not doing. And you think your discomfort is to do with what he's doing or not doing. And the good news is you're both completely wrong.
Oh my gosh, I had never thought about it that way.
And this is why I talk about the joy of being out of control. Because when you really see, it's never anything to do with anything other than your own thinking. And that doesn't mean, by the way, that there might not be things to do in the world. I'm not suggesting that, you know, I've got a show coming up about how to spot a real problem. And I talk about how, you know, there are problems that even if you don't think about them, there's still something to do. You know, we can not think about what's going on in Japan, but there's still stuff to do to clean up the mess.
Mm-hmm.
But when we think that there's a problem with us because we're not reacting properly to what's going on in the world, or there's something wrong with our partner because they're not, it's so much simpler than we make it. If you mm-hmm. think an insecure thought, you'll feel an insecure feeling. If you recognize that it's just thought, it's not that hard to kind of let it pass. And then you come back to your natural well-being.
Mm-hmm.
But when it looks like there's something to do about it, that's what keeps it alive.
Okay, I understand. And I think you have a really good point on how to deal with it. I'm just a bit worried because he's actually saying that he's uncomfortable.
Sure. Well, you know what? You know why he's saying that? Probably because he's feeling uncomfortable.
Uh-huh.
But he's feeling uncomfortable because he's thinking uncomfortable thoughts and he doesn't see that they're thoughts. That's all. I mean, and that's true of all of us. And
okay.
There's nothing that would happen in the world that could do anything more than temporarily distract him from those thoughts. And then once that, whatever temporary thing it was, passes, then he'll be right back to the thoughts. So there's a real, you know, you don't have to do anything with them. I mean, I find, in fact, the most powerful thing that we can do to make a difference with our partners is just love them. You know, go on. I'm really sorry that you're feeling that way, honey. I want you to know that I love you.
Okay. I guess you're right. It's not really something I can change. I haven't thought about that.
And the beautiful thing, and this is part of what I call the kindness of the design of life on Earth, is that when you stop trying to control what you don't control, very often it changes all by itself.
Wow. Okay. So, well, what I get from what you're saying is that how my partner feels is not something, again, that I can control.
Mm-hmm.
So that's... I just have to accept it and not assume it's something it's my fault or something
well,
I can change.
You don't have to, Agnes. You can drive yourself nuts trying to do something about it.
Yeah.
I just think that's probably a lousy plan.
Yeah, I really don't want to do that either because I'm doing other things. So
Yeah.
Okay. So again, it's not something I can change, and it's not something I can control.
You're very welcome. That's it. Yeah. No, I mean, it's like Agnes says. I mean, unless she has some sort of magic remote control that I'm not aware of, you know, we don't control our children. We don't control our partners. We don't control the people we do business with. It's just not how it works. And when we see that, it's easy enough to let go of trying to. And when we're not using all our energy trying to control what we don't control, trying to fix what we think shouldn't be the way that it is, we're actually free to see what's possible. And usually there's either nothing much to be done, or if there is anything to be done, it's obvious what that is, and then we can begin to go do it. And one of the things that really lets you see that, one of the things that really allows you to thrive in spite of whatever your partner's up to or your job is up to or your work is up to or even what your head is up to, is to just slow down. And not necessarily on the outside. I don't mean, you know, radio guy said slow down, I must quit my job because it's a fast job. No, I just mean slow down. Take a little bit more time. What, you know, what's the rush? Urgency, that sense of urgency that you sometimes feel, that's just insecurity. That's just your own insecure thinking making you think, oh my God, I got to do it now because if I don't do it now, something terrible is going to happen. Well, unless there's a train coming at you right now, that's just not true. And when you slow down even a little bit, you get to make sense of life in another way. You get to take a deeper look at what this whole life is all about. You know, there's this myth in our culture, the myth of the next level. The idea that when I get to the next level, it's all going to be better. When I get to the next level of achievement, when I get to the next level of relationship, when I get to, the, you know, when we go from dating to getting engaged, when we go from engaged to being married, you know, then it's all going to be better. When we go from being an employee to being management, when we go from being a management to running our own company, then it's all going to be better. When we go from making tens of thousands to hundreds of thousands to millions, then it's all going to be better. Well, it's actually not true. It's just going to be different. That's the thing. There isn't better than here. There's just different from here. Now, that doesn't mean that if there appeals to you, you can't go there. You absolutely can. Part of the fun of life is moving from one place to another. But when you see that the next level, you know, I did a talk in London last week, and it was a group of very high achievers in the audience. And one of the things we talked about, you know, a lot of them were there to get a seven-figure business. And it was interesting because when I talked to them, a lot of them didn't even have a four-figure business. And it's like, why do we want to do that? Why would you want to go from not making anything to making millions without experiencing anything in between? Because do you know what? They people do that. They're called lottery winners. And there's so much research now over the years that just kind of shows, well, that lottery winners don't actually experience more happiness than the rest of us. In fact, within a year, the studies show that they're a little bit less happy than they were before they won the lottery. Because it's just too sharp a contrast. It doesn't mean you can't find a way to deal with it. Doesn't mean you might not, ooh, I'd like to have that problem. Well, okay. But if you want to enjoy your life more, if you want to be more effective in life, if you want to be able to navigate your life, to navigate the world effectively with a general sense of ease and grace, then it's really helpful to take a closer look at what you control and what you don't. So let's do a little straw poll. Okay? You can answer for yourself as you're listening. Do you control your partner? As honestly as you can. You might be able to push their buttons. You might be able to piss them off on command. But do you control them? And I'm going to assume that you're going to come to the conclusion that you don't. And if you come to a different conclusion, okay. Do you control what happens in the world? Like, can you make there not be an earthquake in Japan when there's an earthquake in Japan? Can you make there not be a tsunami if there's a tsunami? And I'm going to guess that you're going to come to the conclusion that you can't. Now, do you control what people think of you? Well, you can play a part and you can try to do the things that you think they'll like, but they could still choose to just think you're stupid. And we also, fortunately, many of us have someone in our life who, no matter what we do, chooses to think that we're lovely. And we might think they're deluded, but we don't control that. So what do we actually control? Well, up to a point, we control what comes out of our mouth. Sometimes it doesn't sound like it. But you pretty much have control over your mouth muscles. Nobody can force you to say something. I mean, you know, maybe they can shoot you up with sodium pentothal or supposed to tie you up with Wonder Woman's lasso. But on the whole, you control what comes out of your mouth. And you control what you do with your body up to a point. I mean, at some point we lose control of our body, but most of us, for most of our lives, have a degree of control over our bodies. So we can control what we do with our bodies. We can control what comes out of our mouths. I'm not aware of there being much else that we control. Now, what about our thoughts? Some people say, well, yes, we can control our thoughts. I mean, and if we think more positive thoughts, we'll feel better. Well, that's true. There's no question about it. When you're thinking positive thoughts, when you're thinking about someone that you love, someone who loves you, you're thinking about the best experience you had in the last week. You're thinking about something you're really looking forward to this weekend. Well, chances are, if you're really thinking about one of those things, you're feeling pretty good because we experience our thinking. And if you start thinking about, gee, what's my biggest problem? And you start thinking about, well, you know, why is it taking so long? Why it shouldn't take this long? I should be there by now. Well, why did they do that to me? Why did that happen to me? Why would I be the one who that happens to? Well, chances are, if you think those thoughts, you'll feel bad. So we can see there is a connection between my thinking and my feeling, between what I think and my experience of life. But do you choose which thoughts come into your head? Because I'm not aware of being able to do that. I'm aware that I do have a degree of control over which thoughts I dwell on, over which thoughts I think about. So I might have a thought that comes through about, God, nobody loves me, nobody likes me, nobody listens to my show, man. I can have that thought, and on the whole, I can watch it and kind of go, wow, that's a depressing thought, and move on. And if I have a thought about how much I love my kids, I can kind of hang out with that thought for a little while and kind of go, yeah, that's a nice thought to dwell on. But here's the really cool thing. It matters a lot less what you think than the space in which the thoughts arise and the thoughts fade away. we are the space in which thoughts arise. We are, you could say, it's not me, it's the mind. The mind is the space in which thoughts arise. Okay, I'll go with that. But whether you want to call it the mind or big mind or the universe or you, we are the space in which this drama unfolds. And the space doesn't get tainted by what's inside it. It's almost like I was talking to a client on Monday of this week, and they were talking about books. As we were having this conversation, and they used the analogy of a book. And they said, the great thing about a book is it doesn't matter what's written inside. So like you could pick up a book with a horror story in it. You go, oh, that's a horror story. That's a scary book. And then you've got another book that has a love story in it. And you go, oh, that's a love story. That's a lovely book. But the one thing that all the books have in common is the white page underneath the black ink. Right? We are the empty book. We are, our consciousness is just the blank page. And sometimes what gets written on it we like, and sometimes what gets written on it we don't. But that only matters if we start to think that we're the story of our life. We're not. We're the book in which the story is written. And you don't need control to be the book. If you want to get in, we got time for one or two more calls before we finish. Numbers to call, 866-254-1579, toll free from the United States and Canada, or from outside the U.S. You can reach the show on 001-760-918-4300. Also wanted to mention, we have a course coming up in July in Ojai, California. And if you don't know Ojai, Ojai is where Krishnamurti used to live. Ojai is where Byron Katie lives. Ojai is where they filmed the Shangri-La movies. And it's also where they filmed the series Brothers and Sisters. It's a beautiful artist community. It's got a lovely energy. And we're going to be spending 3 days in a retreat called Learning How to Thrive. And what we're going to look at, it's going to be a small group. It's just going to be me and about 15 people. And in that space, we're really going to look at what it takes to thrive in our lives, regardless of circumstance, regardless of where we are now, regardless of what happens to us. What allows us to thrive in any circumstance. And you can find out more about that by going to supercoach.com/thrive. So that's something you can do. Let's talk about something else. Let's talk about, if we're out of control, how do we move forward in life? In other words, if all we control is a little bit about what thoughts we dwell on and what we do with our bodies and what comes out of our mouths, well, how do we move forward when our lives, if there's difficulty in our lives? How do we move forward if we're experiencing struggle? Well, if I know that all I got control over is my own body, up to a point, and a little bit of my thinking, but not that much, and what comes out of my mouth, well, it gets quite simple. Because then what gets created in my world on the outside is going to be down to what I speak and what I do. No more, no less. Now that makes life pretty simple. So if I want to accomplish something, well, it's going to come down to what I speak and what I do. So I might want to start speaking into the world what I want to create. I might want to start telling people about it. Hey, this is what I'm up to. This is what I'm creating in my life. Yeah, I'm creating a new career. Yeah, I'm creating money, actually, in my life. I finally decided I'm going to create some money. I'm going to create some abundance. I'm going to create a new relationship in my life. I'm going to start speaking it into creation. And what starts to happen is it gets more and more real the more I speak it. I can start to, as I speak it, I can sort of see it on the inside. And when I speak it enough, other people can start to see it on the inside. And when we're all looking at the same thing, it starts to become obvious what to do in order to create it. Now, this is a really cool thing. One of the analogies my friend Steve Hardison gave me for this is it's like when they make candles the old-fashioned way, they dip a wick in the wax and they take it out, and only a very little bit of wax sticks to it. And then they dip it again and more wax sticks to it because now it has more surface area because it's already got some wax on it. And each time they dip it, the candle becomes more solid because there's more to stick to it. And as you speak what you want to create into being, what you want to create becomes more and more solid. And when you realize that's all you got is what comes out of your mouth and what you do with your body, that's a really powerful place to begin creating. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Richmond, Virginia, and let's talk to Imaja. Imaja, am I saying that correctly?
Yeah, you got it correct. Imaja.
Imaja. I love
it.
So what can I do for you today?
You were talking about, we don't have control really over our thoughts. What I was processing with that is sometimes I feel like my thoughts get out of control. I think it goes back to the point that you were making about we can choose what we dwell on or something like that. I think that's what you said.
That sounds like me.
Yeah. But what do you do when the thoughts, how do you bring the thoughts back into a point where they're not detrimental and causing an internal struggle is a question.
That's a beautiful question, because here's the thing. The idea of an internal struggle, the idea of a thought being out of control, only makes sense in a world where we think the game that we're supposed to play is control. So a thought can only be out of control if I think it's possible for it to be in control. And what I'm actually saying is we just don't control our thoughts. It's just not how it works. Now, what happens is when we stop thinking we're supposed to be able to control them, then they're free to do their own thing without it bothering us anymore. The reason that it seems like a problem is because we think we need to do something about it. But a thought has no power until we empower it with our attention and energy. It's just a thought, right? We have random thoughts all day long. I wonder what would happen if I strapped toast to the back of a cat and threw it out the window. Would it land butter side up, or would the cat land on its feet? We have thoughts like that all day long hopefully you don't have that particular thought. That is quite a weird thought.
But,
we don't think about those thoughts, right? We don't worry about them. We don't think, oh, I mustn't have the cat and toast thought again. But some thoughts, for whatever reason, it's different for each one, they hook us.
I'm a compulsive overeater, and sometimes for me it's the food. Go eat this, go get this, go get that, taste this, taste that.
Yeah. Now, wouldn't it be neat if all those thoughts could be there, and you could even hear them go, wow, my thoughts are saying go eat this. And you realize that you didn't have to do anything with your body you didn't want to do?
Yeah, that would be neat.
So let me tell you this, okay? That is 100% within your control. You don't control whether or not the thought's there. But nobody's going to come along and force your hand. And the more you see that those voices and those thoughts they're just thoughts. They're no more significant than the cat and the toast. The easier it is to kind of go, wow, that's a weird thought, and move on. And I can tell you from experience, if you're willing to even play with that idea, you're going to find that you suddenly are back in control of the one thing you do control, which is what you do with your body and what comes out of your mouth.
Yeah, what do I do with my body? Because I really...
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Okay, so here, I'm going to give you, because we've only got like 20 seconds left, so I'm going to give you the simplest trick. If you relax your muscles, you can't lift your arm. And if you can't lift your arm, you can't put food in your mouth. So have a play with that, Imaja. Thank you so much for phoning in. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you to Steve and Joe in studio. We're going to be back with a brand new show next week. Until then, have fun, learn heaps, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye for now.